Well, hi, this is Steve Hall. Thank you for listening to the podcast today. And I think you're going to be in for a real treat today. I think you're going to enjoy this. I'm sitting here with Joe. Joe's a student at Tellico Plains High School, where I teach. And I've had the privilege of having Joe in several classes. Let's see, Algebra 2 and Physics and ACT Prep now. He's also been kind of my right-hand man in keeping things running smoothly in the Veritas Club. In case you don't know, let me just say a word or two about the Veritas Club before we get started here, because we'll be talking about it. It's a Christian club that we started the school a few years ago, and its purpose is to help students who might be interested learn why we're convinced that we can trust the Bible, why we believe the Bible is trustworthy, why we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that he didn't stay dead, why we're convinced that life that we see around us, the world we see around us, could not have happened just by chance and time. It had to have a creator. And things like that. We also talk about some of the major religions. We do some comparative religion kind of thing where we compare Christianity to secular humanism, Christianity to pantheism, Christianity to Islam. And like I said, Joe's been kind of a major part of that effort here the past few years. Let me also say this about Joe. He's an incredible student.
I'm gonna
toot his horn here a little bit, but he rarely makes anything, or at least this was my experience with him, anything less than 100 in even his toughest classes. Now, you may think I'm exaggerating there, but I'm really not. It just seems that God's given him a brilliant mind, and we'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. But those of you who are familiar with the ACT, that's the test that most kids have to take to get into college, you know, a college entrance exam. You might be impressed to know that Joe made a 35 on the ACT. That's out of a possible perfect score of 36. And I believe I'm right about this. I think anyone that makes a 32 is considered to be in the 99th percentile.
So somewhere around there.
So 35 is going to be way up there in the stratosphere. It's just kind of amazing. So that's impressive. And most importantly, for the purpose of this podcast today, I want to emphasize Joe is a really strongly committed follower of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's mainly what we want to emphasize today. We'll talk about all of this. So, Joe, it's good to have you here today.
Welcome. I'm happy to be here. It's really an honor. I've listened to your podcast on your side before. So
really?
It's
really well,
cool.
You're one of the few.
I don't know about that.
You've suffered through some of those then. Well,
I know they're really awesome. I really love your style of teaching, and you're very informative. And I like listening to you in Veritas. We learn a lot of really great stuff in there.
So. Well, that's why I brought you here, so you can say those nice things. So I have to pay you now. So anyway, thank you, Joe. But this is a mutual admiration moment, I guess. I want to talk about some of those things I mentioned a few minutes ago. But let's start things off just a little bit about your walk with Christ. You know, how would you describe your relationship with Christ to someone who just asked you that question out of the blue?
Well, it's definitely not over yet. It's still continuing. I have a long way to go, but I've also come a long way from where I started. People who know me might know that I grew up in a Christian household. My parents are Christian, really strong Christians, and I've gone to church all my life. I was brought up in church, Quaker church.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents have just been really great encouraging my faith and helping me to grow. So I've done a lot of development, I would say. I was saved whenever I was 9. That's whenever I first felt the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a really wonderful moment for me. As I grew up, I started facing like problems that teens face with self-image and things like that, low confidence. In middle school, and that was a trying time in my life, but I've overcome that, and even though I was a Christian in my middle school years, I didn't feel very mature in my faith.
Mm-hmm.
But with high school, I feel like I've grown more in these few high school years than I have in all the previous years put together.
That's great.
And a great large part of that is the amazing Christian clubs that we have at Tellico. It really is. It makes a huge difference.
It is pretty amazing what we've got going on at the school there. Every time I tell people about it who are not associated with school, don't know about school, they're always amazed that we have 4 mornings a week where we meet and have one kind of Christian club or another. So that's very unusual, very rare. And you take advantage of pretty much all of it. So that's been...
I try.
Yeah. And you said you first became aware of your need for Christ when you were about 9 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And So you call it maybe an awakening. Can you describe that a little bit more? What happened then, maybe?
Well, we were my family and I were out in town at Teleco, and it was around Christmas time, and everything was decorated for Christmas. There was an event going on, and we attended that, and it wasn't a Christian event. It wasn't like a revival or anything like that, but something just happened there, something that was very special. I saw the lights and the decorations, and they were pretty, but I've described it before as like being struck by a bolt of lightning. It was just totally out of the blue.
Yeah.
I realized what beauty was, like how beautiful the world was and all of creation was. And I thought, like, what's this feeling that's welling up inside of me? Like, tears came to my eyes, and I realized that it was God. God was telling me, look at me, I made this, I did this. And I was just like, yeah, you're awesome. That's incredible. And then I thought back to Sunday school and the things I'd learned in church, and I asked him to come into my life and into my heart, and I was just filled with a warmth, and I knew that it had to be God, and like tears were pouring off my face, and it was just an amazing, beautiful moment.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. It's really neat how God just chooses different ways to relate to different people. He draws us all in different ways. And mine's kind of similar to that. When I was 10, only a year older than you, I guess, at the time. But, you know, I was hearing things, people talk about Jesus and salvation and repentance and faith, and didn't really understand what that all that meant. But I was beginning to sense, man, I've got a problem, you know, my life's not right, you know, there's something not where it's supposed to be, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Of course, we're talking about little kids here, but I was with my grandparents, and I talked to them. I said, I think I need to be saved, but I don't understand all of this. And my grandfather sat me down in their living room in Florida. I was with them for the summer, and led me to Christ, you know, told me what I needed to do. I prayed, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart, just kind of like you're talking about there. And I know there are people who would critique our salvation experiences and say, wait a minute, I didn't hear you say anything about whatever, repentance. I didn't hear you say anything about faith. And yet I think it's all there in a child. You know, I mean, when Jesus said, hey, when the disciples said, hey, get these kids away, Jesus is too busy for them. Of course, his answer was, no. You've got to become like them before you can come into my kingdom.
Right.
And I take by that he's saying it's not a complicated thing to become a Christian. It just takes a sincere heart who really realizes we need Christ. Our sin, we can't do anything about it ourselves. Mm-hmm. In fact, let me turn that over to you for just a second. If let's generalize it. If someone were to say to you, okay, Joe, you're a Christian, and you're following Christ, I assume that means you expect to go to heaven when you die, and I'd like that too. What would be some things you would suggest to them that they need to be tuned into, they need to be aware of, or anything they need to do? What would you tell somebody like that?
Well, if they ask me a question like that, then hopefully, like you were talking about, hopefully they realize that they're missing something, that they don't have all the pieces, they don't know how to get together. Mm-hmm. And I might suggest to them to open up a Bible or something. Mm-hmm. I've heard that John is an excellent place to start, and there's some really amazing passages in John, and just read through it, and if you have any questions, or maybe read through it with them, and just tell them about the story of Jesus, because even though in Teleco we live in a pretty sheltered community, but and most people do know who, at least who Jesus is, even if they don't believe in
him. Yeah,
exactly, but a lot of people don't know all the pieces. They just have heard like a story about this or a story about that. So just, I think that just telling the story of existence, of the beginning, from the beginning to God sending his son to die for us, and what all of that means, how we can apply that to our lives, that he loved us enough to die for us, and therefore our life is already, it belongs to him. He paid the price for our life, so it's his. And hopefully something like that might help lead them to our Lord.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. Yeah, I think sometimes we try to complicate it too much. It's so simple to become a Christian. But You know, when we become a Christian, we realize who Jesus is, that he's God, that he's conquered death, that he came to make life worth living, he came to give us eternal life. He loves us, and we want our life to be all about him. I mean, that's kind of what faith is, I think. Just, I'm trusting Jesus. And yes, of course, we realize we've sinned, and our sin is a big problem. It can only be fixed by Jesus, who died for us on the cross. But we can try to make it formulaic, where we say, okay, this, these are the steps.
When really, like the ABCs.
And I guess there's nothing wrong with that, you know. But ultimately, I think we need to be careful that we don't say, whoops, you left out a letter, or you left out a, you know. If there's a commitment to Christ, you know, we can help kids, especially, begin to put it together as they grow. Yeah. You know, I think those of us who are old, like me, this you may not be able to identify with this, but I'm going to see if you can. Most of us who are older can look back over decades of life and we say, wow, it's amazing what God's brought me through. There have been some highs that were pretty exciting and thrilling, and then there were some lows that were pretty depressing and discouraging. And we look at those times, we realize life is kind of like that. There are mountaintops and there are valleys. And when you're young, and you're still very young, you may not have lived long enough to notice that much, but let me just throw it at you and see. Can you think of any high times or maybe even low times that you'd want to share with us, and maybe how that related or how that affected, if it did, your walk with Christ?
Yeah, that's fine. Well, high times, I think that's what I'm in now. I feel that my high school experience has been the high point of my Christian maturity and my walk with the Lord. I've never felt closer to him than I have in high school.
That's cool.
It's really
probably awesome. A rare testimony. Go ahead, though. That's good.
I must say that in middle school, like I was talking about before, I did struggle with self-image issues, and I just didn't feel like I was worth very much.
Wow.
And even though I knew all of the truths, I knew Jesus and everything that he had done and how much he loved me, I knew that in the back of my mind, but I guess it was the devil just telling me other things, telling me different.
He was basically telling you, you're worthless.
Right.
So how did God bring you out of that?
Well, after struggling with that just for a little while, just again, like being struck by lightning, it was just all at once my eyes were opened, that and all the truths from the back of my mind came back to the front of my mind, and I realized, wow, God loved me so much, and he's done so much for me, and he's preserved me through all of this, and it's silly for me to mope around of silly things, how I look and things like that, whenever he died for me, and there's a spiritual war going on, and I really need to be a part of that. It's silly to worry about so human and so worldly things whenever there's so many heavenly things to be excited about. And then my whole outlook, really, just instead of looking for a reason to be happy, I didn't have that anymore. I was happy basically all the time, and my personality changed pretty drastically. And I like to think that I'm a pretty positive person now. But yeah, just everything changed. I used to be very shy in middle school. That's something that I struggled with definitely through my whole life, actually. I was very shy, terrified of public speaking. I couldn't communicate at all. Whenever I hit high school, there was an adjustment period. I was still getting the hang of things, and it was a little rocky at first as far as speaking to other people came. God really helped me open up and become much more outgoing, and it's really been great. I think that I'm a much better witness to others because of the changes that he worked through me in middle school.
That's awesome. That's beautiful. I tell you, you nailed it a while ago when you said it. We're in a warfare, and even as you've been a Christian, even for a long time, some people listen to this may be able to identify, and you know, they say, you know, there's no excuse, but we still find ourselves sometimes sinking emotion a little bit or feeling, man, I'm not good enough to do this. I mean, what am I trying to do? You know, and we have to go back to the scripture, I think, and remember what God said about us. Like you said, He loved us enough to die for us.
Right.
And then He gives us all these truths about us in Scripture. He says, hey, you are mine. You're more than a conqueror. You're not just a winner. You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through me. And I'm meeting all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And there's a power working in you that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. And God reminds us of all that, and we start getting our head on straight.
Right.
Wow, this is awesome. God's given me power over all the power of the enemy. I can win this war if I'll just stay in it and use His Scripture and His truth. But it's still, we do have those low times, and we have to come through them. And it sounds like He's brought you through that one, which is not to say you won't have more in the future. You know, that's just kind of the way life works. Sometimes Satan backs off a little bit, and he finds a weak area, and he attacks again. Oh, man. But it's a war, and then we just have to have our armor in place and do the best I can. That's a great testimony.
Right. The introduction to spiritual warfare is another thing that Veritas has really, really taught me, because I didn't really know very much at all about spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a relief, really. Because as a Christian, obviously, we still mess up. We still sin. We still make mistakes.
Sure.
But it's really, it just changed how I looked at it. It's not like I'm walking a tightrope where there's a sea of pointy fingers waiting for me to mm-hmm. fall off. I'm in a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And even though my knees may buckle and I might take a step back or two, I'm still fighting. And I think it's the fight,
yeah.
Like you said, just staying in the battle that
yeah.
really matters.
It's, yeah.
It's great to think of it that mm-hmm. way. That was definitely a huge eye-opening experience in my life, and I have you to thank for it.
Well,
I
would have... Praise the Lord, not me, but I appreciate that. Yeah,
yeah,
thanks,
that's
Joe.
True.
But it's true. I mean, and we are. If we can see that, life is a war. It's warfare. And we're on the winning side, and if we fall, God picks us back up and says, okay, go again. And
right.
Yeah, put on the armor and go again. That's good. Well, I was talking earlier about your ACT score and your school grades. Let's talk about that for a few minutes. To what would you attribute that? I mean, most people would look at you and say, wow, this guy's a genius and all of that. How would you account for it? You know, if someone said, Joe, how come you do so well and others don't do so well? What's the difference there?
I really feel like I've been blessed. I can't attribute it to anyone or anything other than God. He's really, I think that He's really working in my life, and He's enabled, He's accomplished things through me. Like the ACT and doing well in school. And I ask for His help a lot before tests, quizzes. And he really is there for me. He really helps me a lot in my schoolwork. And I feel... Yeah,
just give God the glory. Amen.
Exactly.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, you know, everybody who knows you would say pretty quickly, God made you brilliant one way or another. And it's not arrogant to acknowledge that. It's just you can be humble and say, thank you, Lord, you've done this. This is the way you made me. But in fact, I've been around you enough to know you've got an incredibly gracious, humble spirit. And I've always been pleased and thrilled with that, because you've probably been around people who were pretty smart and yet pretty obnoxious.
Right. No. And I definitely don't want to come across that way to anyone. I wouldn't consider myself a genius or I don't even think brilliant, but I do think that God has given me a mind that I can use for His glory, and that's what I want to do.
Amen. That is so good. I've also heard this argument back and forth. You may not have an opinion here either. But some people would say, look at somebody like you that seems to do really, really well intellectually, academically, and they would say, well, God just made him smart. You know, he was born smart. He can absorb stuff quickly and easily, and that's just the way it is. Other people would say, well, maybe what happened there is, you know, that maybe God gave him parents that disciplined him and maybe even put within him a sense of, I got to be disciplined here. If I'm going to do well, I'm going to have to study hard. I'm going to have to discipline myself. I'm going to have to learn how to learn. I'm going to have to learn how to absorb information. I'm going to have to practice this thing. And so they attribute it more to discipline than just natural ability. You want to have an opinion about that?
Well, I'm glad that you brought up my parents. I definitely I appreciate everything that they've done for me, and they've helped a lot in the discipline, making sure I get to bed on time and I get up in the morning. making sure that I go to school. My attendance is one thing that I feel very
perfect, blessed. Isn't it? I mean,
I've never missed a day from kindergarten and and I'm very blessed with health, maybe a good immune system. I'm very, very thankful for that. But yeah, my parents have helped me a lot in the discipline, and I've developed my own disciplines of trying to get things done. I struggle with procrastination. I'm not a huge procrastinator, but I often don't get things done as early as I should in the cycle.
Yeah.
But
and that's a problem many of us struggle with. It's such a common to human race because we all tend to be naturally lazy and we can put things off. But it's huge if we can learn to say, wait a minute, this is coming, so I've got to start thinking about it now. And I'm sure you do.
Right.
Win some victories over procrastination, too.
I do normally get things accomplished by the time they're supposed to be done. Yeah. You're talking about the discipline, and I think that I come down somewhere in the middle. I feel like I have been blessed as far as intellect goes. I do feel very, very blessed, and I'm very thankful for that. I think that my discipline has maybe enhanced that. I know that I wouldn't perform nearly as well if I wasn't disciplined. I would probably be able to scrape by without any discipline at all, just turning in assignments when I felt like it. I'd be able to pass, but I wouldn't be able to do as well as I am now. So I think that there's definitely a mixture of
that. Yeah, I think you're right. And Joe, I tell you, I believe there are probably more students than we realize out there who have been gifted, intellectually, but it hasn't been developed. And they learned early on, well, I can get by and do pretty good. And they didn't somehow, they didn't learn the discipline they needed to learn. So it's almost like a wasted gift, you know. It's like God's given them something and they're just kind of getting by with it instead of really developing it. And I see you as using some discipline with the gift so that it's being developed, and God can just really use that. That's great. Right. That's great. Well, let's move on to the Veritas Club for just a minute. You've already said some things about it, and I appreciate that. I don't know if you've got anything else to add or not, but I'm sure that you have certainly encouraged other students to become involved in the Veritas Club.
I've done my best.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. I mean, you've been a huge factor in that. I don't know if anybody's ever asked you the question, well, why? What's the point? Why should I get up a little earlier to come to school, a little earlier to get there at 7:30 so we could be a part of the Veritas Club? But if somebody asked you why, how would you answer that?
Well, because it's worth it. Like I said, it changed my life. It really opened my eyes to a different way of seeing the world, really, seeing my walk with the Lord. And just the amount and quality of the information that you give in Veritas is extraordinary. There's the other Christian clubs are great, but they are more devotional-based, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But yours is more informational, and there's a lot of information being handed out there.
Yeah.
And it's really great for me. Veritas has helped me sort of reconcile the science with the faith, because I know that it's something that you've talked about before, thinking that the faith wasn't backed up by the science. And I know that I had heard things previously about scientists having explanations for Christian, like, creation and phenomena and things like that, or evidence to support that. But I never really dug into that before, and Veritas has really opened my eyes to the vast repository of information about Christians believing what they believe.
That's great. And really, we're just kind of skimming the surface. You know, it's amazing the depth, but it at least maybe helps students realize, hey, there is a huge body of information out there. If you're having trouble with somebody who's claiming the Bible's a bunch of myths, or Jesus really just another guy, and you're wondering, well, what evidence do we have? And I've shared with you and in the Veritas group, I struggled with that when I was in high school. I didn't have the opportunity to do something like this. I grew up in church. They told me, yeah, Jesus is alive. Jesus rose from the dead. The Bible is true. And I believed it. But when I got in college, it was devastating to me when they started ridiculing that, laughing at that, making fun of my faith. And I didn't feel like I could answer except to say, well, I just believe, you know. And that, and to people who don't know, that's not very satisfactory. And I thought, you know, it'd be good to have some answers. And of course, later on, I won't go into that right now, but later on, God began to show me there are tremendous answers to help people. And I think it's something biblical. I'm going to make another podcast one of these days talking about the biblical basis for apologetics and things like the Veritas Club, because there's a strong biblical basis there that a lot of Christians miss. But one of the problems with it for a lot of Christians is it requires discipline. There we are again. It takes some study. It takes some thinking. And so that's... And I would add to what you said that it's even if you come and you don't absorb much of that, just being exposed to it and knowing that it's there. And also, just to say, this is where I stand. I'm identified with these Christian kids. I want to be there just to make a statement. I'm a Christian. I belong here. This is good.
Yeah, my preacher actually told a joke the other Sunday about a blind and a deaf guy who went to church every Sunday, and eventually after seeing him come Sunday after Sunday, one of the other members of the church asked him why he came, and the old man replied, because I want people to know what side I'm on. And I feel sort of the same way about the Christian clubs. I want to be identified with Christ. I want to do things like this podcast to identify myself with him, because he is the one who gave me my identity.
Amen. That's so good, Joe. So good. All right. Do you have any advice that you would share with younger students? You know, every year we got a new batch of freshmen coming in. If you had a chance to stand in front of them and say, okay, guys, here's some counsel for you. Got some things you would share with them?
Well, as far as the Christian clubs go, I would tell them to not be afraid to attend. Because whenever I came in as a freshman, I was pretty intimidated. I didn't know really what they were about. I came to a few of them, but I didn't attend them regularly, and I didn't try them all. But I think that that's really important. I think that the new incoming class should definitely just try it. Just go every day that you can. And more days than not, you're going to find something that's really awesome. It's a really great way to start the day, and I really hope that they'll check it out and see me there.
All right, for this year. Anything else? It doesn't necessarily have to be about Christian clubs. Just anything else you would offer as counsel to young kids coming into high school for the first time?
Well, stay disciplined. That's a big one. Stay disciplined in your studies. Stay organized, of course. Organization is a great way to make sure everything gets done when it gets done.
Good.
If you need help, if you are struggling with anything, talk to some of us. You can talk to me if you know me. Talk to Mr. Hall, some of the teachers. We have some awesome teachers that really care about the students at Teleco. So I'm sure that any of them would be happy to help out any way that they could.
Yeah, and if I could throw in there the danger of getting in with the wrong crowd.
Right.
You know, kids are going in the wrong direction, and it might be a lot of fun, but if there's something kind of in the inside of you saying, I'm not sure this is the way I'm supposed to go, you know, then that may be God saying, hey, you're with the wrong group. You need to make some new friends. And there are lots of, and like you said, coming to the Christian groups would be a good way to start making some new friends that would be the right kind of friends that would kind of move you in the right direction instead of the wrong direction. So.
Yeah, just because you're a teenager doesn't mean that you have to do teenage
things. That's right. That's so true. That's so true. Yeah. I'm sure you're familiar with the phenomenon of students who leave high school. We've talked about it a lot in Veritas. And as soon as they leave high school, they leave the church at the same time. You want to share anything there that what you think might be going on? Why do you think that might happen, just from your perspective? You got any ideas?
Well, I think that some of the numbers might be influenced by people who may actually really be Christians, but whenever they get out into college, their whole schedule changes. Everything changes, and they might not feel like they have time for it anymore, or they might not... have a church that they know of that they would like to attend. So I think that the drastic change in the structure of their life might have something to do with that, and that might Because it's a whole lot easier to not go to church next Sunday if you haven't been the one before, or the one before that, or the one before that. And you kind of get stuck in a rut like that.
Yes.
But I think that the more pressing problem, the more disturbing problem, is that I think that a lot of people like my age about to go into high school, or about to go to college, call themselves Christians, but really aren't serious about their faith. Maybe they haven't actually been saved before. Maybe they just aren't very mature. Maybe they aren't prepared for the challenges that college is going to throw at them. But college years are, I think, a very susceptible time.
Yeah.
And if we have any kinks in our armor, or we haven't put the armor on yet, then the devil's going to find a foothold.
Well said, Joe. Well said. Well, let's think about your future for just a few minutes here. We're going to wrap this up pretty quickly. But do you have, what are your thoughts? I know you don't know the future.
Right.
Nobody knows the future except God. And so who knows what he's going to do with you? It'll probably be surprising. Yeah, that's just the way it works.
Right.
But based on what you understand that he's doing right now and what he might do with you in the future, what do you see happening down the road as far as what God might be doing through you?
Well, I hope that I'll be able to get into college. My first choice is Vanderbilt.
Okay.
I want to major in computer science. And hopefully he'll take that. He'll take my mind, and I'll be able to apply it to that and my studies and get a degree. National merit, that's something that I'm going to be participating in, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I'll be a national merit scholar. I've taken the test.
Took the SAT.
Did
pretty well on that.
Yeah, the PSAT was high enough to qualify me for national merit, and then my SAT score confirmed that.
Fantastic.
So hopefully sometime this year I'll get a confirmation letter of that. So that'll be really nice.
Great. Play about that.
Yeah, I plan on applying for a lot of scholarships. And hopefully just get my feet off the ground over the summer, not this summer, but after I start college, hopefully I'll be able to get an internship somewhere. I think that would be a great work experience.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, whatever you do, as long as you keep the same relationship with Jesus you have right now, he's going to really use you. And it may be in ways that surprise the daylights out of you. Who knows? You'll see.
Maybe.
You may be shocked. But it'll be good. It'll be good. Well, Joe, I just want to thank you so much for this time. I don't know if you've got anything else you want to share before we wrap this up, but man, it's been very enlightening, and I think what you shared is going to help a lot of folks if they'll listen. We just need encouragement to listen in. I'll certainly do that, and maybe help some other people start thinking, hey, you know what, my life needs to be all about Jesus too, because he can do amazing things, and it won't be the same thing he's doing with you, of course. It'll be very different, but it'll be good. It'll be awesome. He's just that way.
Yep. As long as it glorifies God.
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer before we stop, okay? Lord, I thank you so much for Joe, and I thank you for his commitment to you. I thank you for his love for you, and I thank you for the way you've helped him articulate that well for us today. This has been a delightful time and conversation, and I pray that you would use what we've shared here today to encourage other Christians and maybe to draw some people who don't know Jesus yet into a relationship with you that would change their life forever, and that you would be able to use them to get great glory for yourself too. Thank you for the Christian walk. Thank you for putting us in this battle. Thank you for giving us all the warfare we need. Thank you for being willing to lead us and teach us and to be patient with us. And Lord, I just am amazed at the way you've created and made Joe, and I give you praise for that. We give you all the glory, and I know he does, and I just pray you'd use him in an incredibly beautiful and special way, and I'm excited about getting to watch some of that. So thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.